My dear brothers and sisters, a couple of weeks ago, the YPC had an evening on the theme Devious Duos. And you might notice there's one coming up on Delightful Duos. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Ahab and Jezebel, Samson and Delilah, and I spoke on Herod and Herodias. There were so many great messages running through the theme and the subjects that were ready-made for an exhort, I couldn't resist. So here it is. There's something very powerful about the influence that other people have on us. We like to think that we're independent people who can think for ourselves. We make our own decisions. We know what we believe. We would like to think that our character is largely our own responsibility. And of course, ultimately, it is. But Scripture recognises something that we sometimes forget. The people we spend time with will influence the person we become. Now, that can be a wonderfully positive thing, because a good friend will encourage us when we're struggling. A faithful brother or sister can help us to see things in ourselves that we might otherwise have missed. Wives and husbands can encourage and support one another towards better and more positive things. An older brother or sister might be able to give us wisdom gained through their years of experience that's applicable to something happening to us. But as we know, this influence works both ways, and so can lead in the opposite direction. Depending on who they are and what they believe, the people that are around us might make it easier for us to compromise. They can reinforce and help to justify our weaknesses rather than challenging them. They can tell us what we want to hear rather than what we need to hear. And one of several really good examples of this in Scripture is found in the relationship between Herod Antipas and Herodias. Their story isn't about two exceptionally evil people who have nothing to teach us. It's actually about two people who had weaknesses. Weaknesses which, when brought together and left unchecked, reinforced one another until the consequences, as we know, became devastating. Now, this gives us an opportunity to ask ourselves a personal question. In a broad sense, what sort of people are we becoming? And a little more specifically, what sort are we aiming to be? Do the two match up? And are the people around us helping us to go in the direction that we want? Let's look at Herod. Mark tells us that John the Baptist confronted Herod about his relationship. "It is against God's law for you to marry your brother's wife," he said, very plain. There's little doubt that Herod knew John was right. And Mark 6 verse 20 gives us an interesting insight into Herod's character. It says, "For Herod respected John, and knowing that he was a good and holy man, he protected him. Herod was greatly disturbed whenever he talked with John, but even so, he liked to listen to him." Herod liked listening to him. He knew that John was a good man and a messenger from God. And even though he had been directly rebuked, he remained really interested in what John had to say. And I wonder if that might have been because John made him feel like a better person, even if it was only for a short time. And most unfortunately for all his interest, Herod didn't change. And this is another excellent lesson that we get from this story. The message is that it's entirely possible to know God's truth without allowing it to cause change within us. We can enjoy the Bible and know exactly what it teaches. We can enjoy exhortations and respect faithful brothers and sisters for their faith. And yet there can still be a big gap between what we know and what we actually do. James puts that pretty plainly when he says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Now, for those who aren't baptised, the implications are very obvious. But the lesson doesn't stop there by any means. For the rest of us who have already made a change in our lives by being baptised, it's a bit more subtle. The problem with Herod wasn't a lack of information. He didn't need anyone to more clearly explain the issue to him. He already knew. What he lacked was the courage and self-control to act on what he knew, to make a change. And again, this is something worth reflecting on for us as believers who have been baptised. As we get older and more experienced in the truth, there is a danger that our knowledge can increase without corresponding changes occurring in ourselves and our efforts. We can be very familiar with scripture, with history, with prophecy, with doctrines. We can have all the right answers. But the question we will ultimately be asked is not likely to be, "How much do you know?" It's more likely to be, "What did you do, or what are you doing with what you know?" Because, brothers and sisters, our knowledge and faith needs to produce action. And don't get me wrong, it has already produced action in all of us who are baptised. It has produced action by bringing us all here every week. But regardless of our age, how long ago that first step was, we need to do our best to ensure that we continue taking more steps forward together towards the kingdom. Herod had a troubled conscience. John's preaching, we read, disturbed him, and with good reason. But rather than allowing that discomfort to trigger him and produce repentance leading to action, Herod instead tried to manage it and to ignore it. And unfortunately, that's also something we too can do at times. I think we all know that sometimes God's word makes us uncomfortable. A passage we might read might challenge an attitude that we've developed. An exhort might expose or mention something that we would prefer not to think about. Maybe a brother or sister raises a concern over an issue, either with us or something else that touches a nerve for us. Embarrassingly, our first instinct is almost always to defend ourselves. We can think about why a passage doesn't really apply to us. We can justify to ourselves and maybe to others why our circumstances are different. We can always find reasons why someone's advice isn't quite appropriate to me. Or, perhaps most subtly and scary of all, we can, like Herod, simply do nothing. Because we know that that uncomfortable feeling will eventually pass, and then we can just carry on as before. But we need to be aware that Scripture demands something much better from us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, Look closely at yourselves. Test yourselves to see if you are living in the faith. You know that Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail the test. Isn't that why we're here and what we come for each week? Self-examination isn't about being miserable or constantly finding fault with ourselves. It's about us being willing to ask, am I becoming who I want to be? And is there something God is trying to change in me to help? And just a little bit more than that, it's also about us being open enough to hear and, if needed, to act on the answer. Then we think about Herodias. John had told her and Herod, as we said, that their relationship was wrong. Well, her reaction was very different. Not only did she not want to hear it, she was angry. In fact, she was outraged. And she had a grudge that was so intense against John, she wanted him dead. She was prepared to do it herself. She was unwilling to even hear the criticism, let alone to think about accepting it and acting on it. And here's another important message for us. Correction or constructive feedback isn't always pleasant. In fact, if we're being honest, it never is. We don't like it. But it can be one of God's great provisions for helping us to grow. Proverbs 12 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens to counsel is wise." And we all know the verse from Proverbs 27, "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." And these verses are a great reminder of what our relationships within the ecclesia can help us to achieve if we're prepared to let them. We aren't just here to help make each other feel comfortable. We are here to do that too. But we're here to help each other be better disciples. And there's a danger in surrounding ourselves only with people who agree with us. Because if everyone around us tells us that we're always right, the danger is that we will start to believe that we can't be wrong. God has given us the ecclesia as a community in which we can love, encourage, strengthen, and when necessary, correct and sharpen one another. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, "We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ." Notice the two things together, truth and love. Truth, blunt truth, without any love, can be very harsh. Love, without any truth, can become meaningless. The Christ-like approach combines both. Brothers and sisters, there will be times when we need to say something difficult to someone we care about. And vice versa, there will be times when someone that we care about needs to say something difficult to us. The Christ-like disciple doesn't have to agree with every criticism or piece of constructive feedback that they receive, but we should be willing to listen to it, and we can hopefully ask ourselves, even if we don't really like it, is there something here that I can learn or improve on? From what we know, it seems like Herod and Herodias didn't bother challenging or encouraging each other. It just wasn't on their radar, but it probably should have been. Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13 tell us, "Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. This is actually quite a responsibility, because although we will stand before Christ on our own, that doesn't change the fact that we're here to help one another get to the kingdom. Now, we know the last part of the Herod and Herodias story really well. We know he got carried away at his party, made a rash promise while he was surrounded by important and influential people that he really wanted to impress and look good in front of. Once the request for John's head was made, Herod knew straight away that what he had promised was very foolish. He also knew that the request was totally outrageous. But sadly, he was more concerned about how he would appear in front of his guests than about doing the right thing. Now, this too is quite relevant for us. Hopefully none of us will ever encounter such dramatic circumstances as Herod did. But we do experience similar things, just in slightly different and more subtle ways. We can be under pressure to fit in, pressure to say yes to things, to participate in things, a desire to not appear too different or difficult, and to not disappoint others. Proverbs 29 says, "Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety." It's really important for us to understand that what led to John's death wasn't just what happened at his party, at Herod's party. The weakness that led up to that decision had been developing for a long time. Herod's lack of self-control, his pride, the concern for his reputation, his willingness to compromise, and the failure to act upon what he knew was right. Unfortunately, these things had already become part of his character, and the circumstances at the party just brought them to the fore. Now, that's worth remembering for us, because we possibly imagine that our character is shaped and revealed by the big things that happen in our lives. But the truth is, our character is being formed by all the small decisions and the small things we do every single day. Every time we manage to choose honesty and integrity when maybe something a bit less would be easier. Every time we make the effort to control ourselves and give a softer, more reasonable response. Every time we choose to be a positive influence on those around us. And every time we put the needs of others ahead of our own. It makes me think of the still small voice, brothers and sisters. All of these small decisions and seemingly unimportant interactions are shaping us into someone. Someone we hope and pray who will in some small way resemble Christ. There's a number of passages that provide us with really clear instructions on how we can build our characters. And Peter, who we know was feisty by nature, says in 2 Peter chapter 1, "In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." These are such great but really challenging verses. if we're being realistic, it's impossible for us to achieve this standard. But as we know, the great news for us is that doesn't actually matter, because what is entirely possible is for us to be trying our best and to be helping each other to keep trying, because all of our shortcomings can and will be forgiven. And that brings us to the one we're here to remember. Because when we're looking for the total opposite of Herod and Herodias in terms of positive, supportive, and encouraging relationships, then our older brother, as always, provides us with the ultimate example. Jesus didn't live for popularity. He didn't change God's principles to make people comfortable, nor was he worried about what others thought. And yet he was never rude or condescending. He had perfect self-control, and we know that he willingly accepted God's will even when it resulted in his own suffering. In fact, everything about his life was directed towards pleasing his Father and helping everyone he came into contact with to do the same, including us, thousands of years later, by his example and by his sacrifice. We read in 1 Peter that about Christ, that he is our example and that we must follow in his steps. We're told he never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. And he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. The question to take away from today isn't, am I a Herod or a Herodias? It's more about asking ourselves, what sort of people do we want to become? Checking on what sort we actually are. And asking ourselves, are we helping each other to head in the right direction? May we strive to be the kind of brother or sister whose influence makes others stronger. Someone who loves, encourages, sharpens when needed, supports, and points others towards Christ. If we can do that for each other, then our relationships become something wonderfully different from the relationship of Herod and Herodias. Instead of dragging each other down and bringing out the worst in one another, we can be a part of bringing out the best and encourage each other forward toward God's kingdom. We read in Hebrews 3, verse 14, "For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ." Let's remember him now.